Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So far in this series, I've been starting out each week with a little history of a well-known Christmas song. This morning's going to be no different. This morning, I want to start out with a little history of the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. At least that's the song as we know it. The tune that we associate with that song, when it was first written by Felix Mendelssohn in 1840, it was written for a secular cantata. It wasn't until the year 1855 when William H. Cummings took that tune and adapted it for a song written by Charles Wesley, a well-known hymn writer at that time. And the song that he adapted it for was titled, Hark How All the Welkin Rings. Imagine if those were still the words that we sang today. But eventually, both the title and the lyrics were changed, making it the joyful song that we all know and love, this declaration from the angels of the Savior's birth all those years ago. Hark, the herald angels sing. So not only are we in the middle of the Advent season right now, we're also in the middle of this series titled Christmas Playlist. And as we're going through this series, we're looking at songs that are worth holding on to. Now, while I've been starting out each sermon with some well-known Christmas songs, the songs that are worth holding on to are the songs that we're looking at, or near songs that surround the events of Christ's birth in Scripture. And I want you to understand, these songs are worth holding on to because these songs point us to Jesus. Each of these songs, these passages, contain rich truths, not simply about the Christmas season, but about the one whom this season is focused on. These songs point us to Jesus. And so as we continue to walk through this series, and as we continue to look at these songs, and as we continue to move closer to this celebration of Christ coming all those years ago, let me encourage you, let your heart be pointed to Jesus. Now, I love the Christmas decorations each year. In fact, I think they're probably the best decorations that there are. And you may think that this is a sin, but we put our decorations up before Thanksgiving each year, right? Now, part of that is because we go out of town for Thanksgiving each year. And so we want our house and our tree to already be, we want our house to be decorated, the tree to already be up whenever we get back from Thanksgiving. But then once we get back, we get to come and join with other volunteers here at this church, and we decorate the sanctuary and the fellowship hall. It's a special time. So I love the decorations. I also love the presents. Now, I'll be honest, as an adult, I don't get as excited about receiving gifts like I did when I was a kid. Now I really enjoy giving those gifts, and especially seeing the excitement and the expressions on my kids' faces when they open their presents, especially if it's something that they were not expecting to get. And so I love the presents, I love the decorations, but at the end of the day, Christmas is not about the decorations. Christmas is not about the presents. All of those things are good things, but those things are really meant to, just like these passages, these songs that we're looking at, these things are really meant to point us to Jesus. So let me say this again, let your heart be pointed to Jesus. As we look at our passage this morning, we're going to have the opportunity, once again, for our hearts to be pointed to Jesus as we look at not this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, but as we look at the actual announcement, the actual song from the angels all those years ago as they came to announce our Savior's birth. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 15 this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. And as you're turning there, I want to set this passage up for you. The scene that is set for us is that of the shepherds out in the fields tending their flocks. Now, seeing the shepherds in the story of Christ's birth probably is not that surprising to us, because this is something that we hear year after year. We're used to seeing the shepherds in the story of Christ's birth. But shepherds really are a curious bunch for God to have included in the story of Christ coming into this world, because in the culture at that time, shepherds were not regarded very highly. In fact, it was quite the opposite. They were regarded very lowly, and their testimonies were considered to be unreliable. And so seeing the shepherds as prominent figures in the story of Christ's birth really speaks to the validity, the reality of this story of Christ's birth. Because if you were going to make up, at that time, if you were going to make up a story, you certainly would not put in shepherds to give it some validity, because they were lowly regarded, because they were unreliable sources. The only reason to include them in this story would be in order to tell the events as they actually happened. The only reason to include them in this story would be because the shepherds were actually there. But because the shepherds were included, because God chose to use the shepherds as part of this story of Christ's birth, there's an important reminder for us this morning that God uses the unlikely to do the unimaginable. Hear that again. God uses the unlikely to do the unimaginable. Listen, you may be here today and you may feel like you are a very unlikely individual for God to use. You may feel unequipped. You may feel unworthy. You may feel like there's absolutely no way that God could possibly use you for His plans or His purposes. If that's you today, then I would simply say this: join the club. In fact, there is a long list of individuals in Scripture who were unlikely individuals for God to use. And they were also very unaware, or they were also very aware of their unlikeliness for God to use them. Individuals like Moses, Jeremiah, the disciples, and even Paul. Those are just a few names. And yet, when we think of those names, we think, man, those are great heroes in the faith, and they were. But they were also not the ones that people would have expected for God to use, and they themselves didn't expect God to use them. But God uses the unlikely to do the unimaginable. So if you're here today and you feel like you are unlikely for God to use, if you feel like you are unworthy today, then I would say this to you this morning: God is not looking for you to feel worthy. God is looking for you to be willing. As I think about all of the cool things that I've been able to be a part of, that I've been able to experience because of God, I recognize that it's not because of my worthiness. You know, I think about being a children's pastor, a youth pastor, a young adult pastor, associate pastor, now for the last few years, the lead pastor here, as I think about the people that I've been able to pray with for them to give their lives to Christ, whether it's children, youth, or even adults, as I think about families coming to know the Lord, as I think about all of the baptisms that we've gotten to experience here at this church, let me tell you, it's not because I'm worthy. In fact, I would say that I'm very unworthy to be a part of any of it. But I made a decision years ago when I was in college. In fact, I remember I was laying on my bed in my dorm room listening to some good old Southern gospel music. And as I was listening to this music, I simply prayed to God and I said, I'm willing. Whatever you want to do with me, wherever you want me to go, Lord, however you want to use me, I'm willing. And it has been my willingness, not my worthiness, it's been my willingness that God has used. God is not looking for you to feel worthy. God is looking for you to be willing. So I would encourage you today, be willing. Be willing to say yes to God. Be willing to be used by God for whatever He desires to use you for. Simply be willing. So here we see the shepherds, this very unlikely bunch, and they're out in their fields tending their flocks. And this is where we pick up in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. It says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people He favors. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting that word that we see there at the start of verse 13. It's the word suddenly. It's very much so an abrupt word, suddenly. So back when Sarah and I were living in Fort Worth, because we lived in a city, we always just were kind of felt on edge, like someone could break into our house in the middle of the night. Whether that was an irrational fear or not, we always just kind of felt like someone could break into our house. So we had an alarm system on our house, but we also at night, we just were kind of aware of the noises in our house. So one night we were sound asleep when suddenly we heard this loud crash in our house. To us, it sounded like someone was breaking through a window in our house. So when we heard this noise, we immediately jumped out of bed and we went to investigate. Now, thankfully, what we discovered was that it was just the clothes drying rack had fallen off the wall in our laundry room and made that big crash. All right, so there really was no crisis. But this word suddenly, it implies an interruption. As the angel of the Lord proclaimed to the shepherds good news that their Savior had been born, suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts. Far more exciting than simply a clothes drying rack falling off the wall. But for the shepherds, their night and their lives were forever interrupted by Jesus. I want you to hear me this morning. Jesus came to interrupt your life. Jesus came to call you out of your sin. He came to bring you out of your struggles. Jesus came to transform you, renew you, and set you free so that you don't have to keep living in the same bondage that you've been living in for years. Jesus came to interrupt your life. You know, you may have come here this morning and maybe you didn't expect much out of today. Maybe you're here today simply because someone invited you to join them. Maybe you're here because it's the Christmas season and so you decided to come to church. I want you to hear me. You are not here by accident. And what you may have planned to be an ordinary Sunday, it could be that God has planned this to be the very day that He would interrupt your life so that He could save your soul. So whoever I'm speaking to this morning, I want you to hear this again. Jesus came to interrupt your life. And so my encouragement to each of us today is this. Let Jesus interrupt your life. Maybe you've been caught in sin. Let Jesus interrupt that. Maybe you've been stuck in the rut of routine. Let Jesus interrupt that. Maybe you've been feeling depressed or alone. Let Jesus interrupt that. Let Jesus interrupt your life that you might suddenly experience the goodness of God in your life today. The shepherds' lives were interrupted by Jesus when the angels appeared to them suddenly. And as this multitude of angels appeared before them, it's as if they broke out into song. And we see this simple song in verse 14. It says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people He favors." So there are two things I want us to see as we look at this song this morning. First, we see what we are to give to God. And what is it that we see is owed to God from this verse? Glory. Glory to God in the highest heaven. So we see what we're to give to God, and what we're to give to God is glory. Now, interestingly, as we think about God being deserving of our glory, of God being owed glory, I want you to understand glory is something that God already has. In fact, many times when we see that word glory in Scripture, it's used as a descriptor of God. It's used to describe God's very nature and character. It's a descriptor of who He is. So I've shared this with you before, but my name Kevin, it means kind one or gentle. Those are actually the reasons why my parents chose that to be my name, and I have strived to live up to my name. I want to be a kind and a gentle person. But not only does my name mean kind or gentle, the name Kevin also means handsome. And well, what can I say? I mean, I'm not saying that I'm handsome. I'm simply saying that my name says that I'm handsome. It's just who I am, right? So as we think about this word glory describing God, understand it's just who He is. Glory belongs to God. God is glorious. Glory is something that God already has. In fact, God's glory is so great that apart from Christ, we would be unable to have a relationship with Him. Because we're reminded in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Apart from Christ coming into this world and going to the cross to die for your sins and mine, apart from that, we would be unable to experience this unity with a God that is so full of glory. Glory is something that God already has, but listen, glory is also something that God deserves. Now, as we think about giving glory to God, we aren't talking about God's attributes. Now we're talking about our praise, our worship. Understand, when we lift our voices together to sing, when we worship the Lord, we give Him glory. Every Sunday morning when we gather in this place, or every Wednesday night when we gather in this place, and we join together and lift our voices together, whether the sound that comes out of our mouths is the most beautiful thing or not, it is to the Lord because it gives Him glory. When we worship the Lord, we give Him glory. Now, that's something that we do very intentionally when we gather together, lifting our voices together, but you are able to lift your voice all week long. No matter where you are, you can sing praises to the Lord, whether you're in the car or even in the shower. You can lift your voice and praise the Lord and give glory to God. But even though our worship, our singing, it brings glory to God, I want you to also understand this, that that's not the only way that we give glory to God. Understand, we give glory to God with both our lips and our lives. Which means that, yes, God enjoys our singing, but the Christian walk is so much more than simply singing a song or two. The Christian walk is walking in obedience to the Lord every single day. And when we live our lives obediently to God, listen, it brings glory to God. When we say no to sin and yes to obedience, we give glory to God. When we give ourselves in service to the Lord for His kingdom work, we give glory to God. When we give our resources, our finances, our lives to the Lord for His purposes, just like the widow gave all that she had, we give glory to God. And when we take care of the vulnerable, like the orphans and the widows, we give glory to God. Yes, our singing gives glory to God, but we also give glory to God with our lives. We give glory to God with both our lips and our lives. God is deserving of glory, and the first thing that we see in the angel's song is that we are to is what we are to give to God, and what we are to give to God is glory. But second, we see what God gives to us. And what is it that God gives to us? Peace. The second half of verse 14 says, "Peace on earth to people He favors." So we see what God gives to us, and what God gives to us is His peace. Understand, the announcement of Christ's birth all those years ago was a proclamation of God's peace, that peace was now available to any and to all who would place their trust and their faith in this little baby that had been born. Peace was something that was long awaited, especially for the Jewish people at that time. They had experienced slavery. They had experienced the ungodly reign of leaders. They had experienced wandering in the wilderness as a result of their own rebellion. There was much turmoil that they knew that the Messiah could come into this world and bring peace to. And so when Jesus was born, God's peace was proclaimed. But what I want you to understand this morning is this: while God's peace was announced in a field, it was fulfilled on a cross. You see, Jesus didn't come to overthrow world leaders like many expected Him to. He didn't come to end every hardship in this life. That day is coming when we all get to heaven, and what a day of rejoicing that will be. But Jesus came to offer both an internal and an eternal peace. You see, when we surrender our lives to the One who died on the cross for our sins, we receive an internal peace. Because no longer is our soul at war with the God that created us. Rather, now our soul is experiencing the peace of being reconciled with our Creator. And so it's this internal peace, but it's also an eternal peace, because the peace that we are offered through Jesus, we're not offered it just for a day. It's not a peace that just lasts for a year. It's a peace that lasts for all eternity. You see, this reconciliation with God, while it is for today, it's also for forever. Christ doesn't just reconcile us for a moment, He reconciles us for good. And so while God's peace was announced in a field, it was fulfilled on a cross. And so I would just ask you today, have you experienced this peace that God offers through Jesus Christ? Are you still trying to overcome your sin on your own? Are you still trying to face those struggles on your own? Is your soul still at war with your Creator? Or have you experienced this peace that God offers through Jesus Christ? If you haven't, then I would urge you, don't wait another day. Don't let this just be another Christmas that comes and goes and yet nothing ever changes. Rather, today you can surrender your life to Jesus Christ and you can experience the peace that He can provide both internally and eternally. The angels sang this song, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people He favors," reminding us that glory is what we are to give to God, but peace is what He gives to us. And for that reason, I believe this song, not "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," but this true announcement of Christ's birth all those years ago, this song is worthy to be on our Christmas playlist. But if you've never put your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ, if you've never surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song, and as we do, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to whatever it is the Lord is calling you to do in this place today. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've never surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. I've never allowed for Jesus to be the Lord of my life, forgiving me, saving me, offering me that peace internally and eternally. If you've never surrendered to Christ, but you're ready to do that today, then I would invite you to respond as we sing. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism, to publicly profess my faith in Christ through baptism. We don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe it's something that God calls every born-again believer to do. And so if that's you, if God's calling you to take that next step of baptism, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to make that commitment with you this morning. Maybe you're here today and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've already taken that next step of baptism by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers here. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. In the first service, we had someone respond before I even got done talking up here. And so I would encourage you, if God's calling you to respond today, don't wait. Respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.